Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father's prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance and a greater understanding, Father, so that we can grow thereby and walk closer and stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Heavenly Father, for Him to live in us, to take our lives and to do with what He would want us to do. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, Father, and we're asking this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be coming to you this evening out of Matthew chapter 24. You know, our country is getting in worse shape every day. They're growing farther and further away from Jesus. And the churches are doing the same thing, because their churches has grown weak and preaching a lot of things that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. If our people don't wake up, stand up and be accounted, especially those that call themselves Christian, we will lose our freedom. And we will lose the freedom to be called Christian. Our government already looks at a lot of us as terrorists, as domestic terrorists. And it keeps going the way it's going, and mankind don't stand up and make their voices be heard. Our Bible one day will be known and labeled and called a book of treasure. Think about it. Be known as a book to mislead, to misguide. A book not to be used, only to use to put you and I in jail and to take our lives. We know from the Word of God that a day and time was prophesied to come where once again the Christian people would be known to become martyrs because of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Think about it. And it's not as far off as you might think. We don't know the hours, the days, or even the year that it will happen, but we do know that it is close. And as the Word tells us, to look up, because it's near, even at hand. And we really don't know just how close, how near that he is talking about. Because we're told that no one knows the day, the hour, the time, except the Father. Even the Lord Jesus himself don't know. Only the Lord God knows, the Father. But he did give us things to watch for. And let me tell you something. As we go through this chapter 24 here of Matthew's, I want you to really pay close attention. Stop and think. And then when this service is over, take your Bible and really go to looking at the prophecies and the warnings that we have been given. And the Lord Jesus Christ will let you know that for most of us, it is awfully close. We're told that the generation that seen these things start, begin, would not pass away until all of it would come about. Think about that. Now, we don't know which generation he's talking about. We don't know whether it was my generation. I'm one of the older ones now. Whether it's my children's generation or my grandchildren's generation. But even with my children and my grandchildren, their generation is not that far off until their generation would be over. So think about it. We don't have as long as what mankind would like to believe. And if we don't get right, we're going to lose our freedom. If we don't get our nation right, we're going to lose our nation. But the main thing is to get right with God so we don't lose out in making heaven our home and spending eternity with Jesus and the Lord our God. And wind up in that lake of fire. It's something we don't need. And let me tell you something. You sure are not going to want it once you get it. All right. We're going to get in now to chapter 24, starting here with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward and bring to you and I a revelation and the truth of this God's word. And once again, we give our praise, honor, and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you always, Father, and giving that thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, we find here in the first four verses, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, you see here in this 24th chapter, we're talking about this second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about his coming for the church. We know he's going to be coming before that, before he comes back for his second coming to this earth. When he comes for the church, he's not even coming all the way back to the earth. He's going to come on a cloud. He's only going to come part of the way. And he's going to call his church out of the world. And all that are ready, all that really are his born-again children, will meet him there in the air. And then they will go with him for a short period of time until the end of tribulation. Tribulation is supposed to be 7 years. But he's not coming after the church until about half of the tribulation period is gone. When you really get into his word, you see that because he tells you that it's 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. That's half of 7, ain't it? You see, the Lord hasn't had a whole lot from it. We just don't know the day, the time, or the year this is going to come about. But he is telling us what to watch for, and he has told us that when we see these things begin, look up because our redemption draweth nigh. It's even at hand. We were told as we read this, you heard me read it, that this generation would not pass until all of this would come about. Now we know that his disciples wouldn't understand what Jesus was telling them here. Because you see, even though they were his called disciples, they had not been given the Holy Spirit or baptized and filled with it in that day and time. All power they had was what Jesus was giving them, just to do work he would send them to do. They were not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost, in that upper room when that 120 was there. And then they were all filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's when it was sent back to be with all of mankind. But now Jesus was going on and telling them here, and he begins to warn them. In verse 4 he said, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Here in the last 55 to 60 years of our church world, has been deceiving many because they have grown weak and deceiving things that they ought not to be teaching. Teaching contrary to things of the Word. Leaving most of it out of the Bible. And it goes on now. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I don't know how many of you all can remember back quite a few years back, we had several men coming to the world claiming to be Jesus. Mung Sun Moon from Korea was one of them. Came claiming that he was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was coming back for a lot of his people. He had over 1 million following him. And I'm talking about even most of them being Americans following him. Then you had several others claiming to be Jesus. And even led their people in to committing suicide with him. These things has already taken place. Now, he goes on down. He says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Right now, there's not a nation nowhere that is not angry with someone talking about wars, that's been at war. And we're hearing rumors and rumors of wars right now. And Israel itself, and Jesus is talking to his disciples here, the Jews, and telling them about that. And right now, they're having hundreds of rockets a day falling on their nation. So that's no longer somewhere in the future prophecy. It's going on right now. Now, in 70, he says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And right now, look how the nations are choosing upsides, being done all over the world. They're choosing upsides. And look at the famine we've got going on. In a lot of different countries right now, there is so much famine going on, and especially one of the worst places right now is Africa, but it's also in India and several other countries. Children are dying by the thousands daily for the lack of food because they cannot grow any products. They can't grow no crops because of drought. So that's no longer a prophecy way in the future. It's going on at the present time. And earthquakes in diverse places, in different places. We've got a fault line right now running through our land that was having 100 tremors a day in different places, not in just one place, but along that fault line. That is now having 1,000 a day. Think about it. Some tremors a day going on in that fault line. There's enough going on in that fault line that if it was to ever really come about and really move into being a big earthquake, it would cut all of that part of our land off and drop it in the ocean. Which actually has been prophesied of happening one day. We've got one fault line that is having tremors and all that are close to us right here in Kentucky. We didn't hear of it when we were growing up. Wasn't having such things. But now, they're happening pretty often, pretty quickly. Now, he tells us, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So we know of what has already happened, that we are way in to the days of sorrow. We don't have to wonder about it. He's telling us right here. All of these things, when you see these things, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. But listen to this next verse. I want you to find out you ain't too far away from some very terrible things. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And right now, there's not many nations right now that don't hate the United States because of our Christianity. It's us they hate. It's really not the others. It's the Christians of this land that they hate. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. They'll begin to betray one another, letting people know, oh, that one, you can't trust that one. That one's a Christian. That will lead to your imprisonment and death. They'll betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall raise and shall deceive many. And we have watched that been going on now, as I said, for a long time. Because at my age, I can remember when all the churches taught God's word. They taught it like it's written. Every church. They all baptized the same way. They don't do that no more. They're divided. They've caused division. That's why now we have so many different denominations. They don't even hardly talk to one another, let alone talk to different ones from different denominations. No. No. He goes on to tell us, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of all the sin and iniquity going on in the world, and we see it all around us today. Because really, that's all we're seeing. And it tells us that because of that, the love of people will grow cold. And we see that happen. People don't care about you today. They don't care whether you live or die. And they sure not going to go out of their way to help you. The only one that will is a true born-again child of God. That true born-again child of God will help you. But he's the only one, or he or she is the only one that will. Because the rest of the world ain't going to. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. You've got to hold on. If you are a child of God today, regardless of what we have to face, whether it's imprisonment, whether it is death, we have to hold on until the end. And there may be a day and time in our life to where we will have to be just like Stephen was. Stephen was the first disciple of the church. After the Lord went back to heaven, started the church age, Stephen had been chosen and became one of the first deacons of the church. And they killed him because of it. They took him outside the city and stoned him to death. They killed him by stoning him. But he held on to God. He held on to his love. And while they were stoning him, he cried out to God, Lord, forgive him. Don't hold this against them. How many of you can do that today? They're liable to take you today to take your head. While they getting you ready to do that, can you tell the Lord God, Lord, forgive them? Not many will be able to, but you have to be able to do it. That's what is required in being a child of God. We have got to love mankind enough to be as Jesus was, to be as Stephen was, and to look and want forgiveness even for those that are ready to destroy each one of us. That's the kind of love we are to carry as a child of the living God. But that's why we need to stay away from these weak, watered-down churches. Because we've got to walk with that kind of faith, and the only way we can do it is by spending our time with those that are in the Word, helping us with the Word and to grow in the Word, so that we can have the strength of faith to stand when it's needed. And there's a lot of things that comes against us that takes a lot of faith in order to stand against it. Right now I'm facing some things. It's taken an awful lot of faith. It's taken a lot of prayer. I pray 4 and 5 days or times a day for God to give me the strength to continue to stand against Satan and all the things he's bringing against my home and against those that I love. Now, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Today, you know, there was a time, even in my lifetime, that we had no way of preaching all around the world. Because for one, a lot of those places we went, we wouldn't have got to have preached at all. We'd have been killed. But now we can. This message I'm preaching this right now is going out over the internet into the world. Every place this internet goes, it's going. That's the reason I hear from these pastors overseas that gets back in touch with me. That's become my friends on the internet. I pray for them. They pray for me. Because now we can continue and do what he's telling us to do, thereby preaching the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. That abomination of desolation, we know that it is a profanation of the Jewish temple worship, which also would foreshadow a similar and more severe act by the Antichrist. This will be when the Antichrist is getting ready to move in to take over this one world government they're trying to get set up right now. We have a Democrat Party right now trying to set up this one world government. That's why they're using this virus and all of this stuff today for political reasons. They want this one world government. When that Antichrist gets close to moving in, he's going to move into God's temple and you know one of the first things he's going to do in that temple? He's going to offer up their sacrifice of pig to desecrate the temple. Mankind not stopping to think today. A lot of them don't believe, a lot of them don't want to believe that these things are actually even going to take place, let alone that they are happening. And they are taking place all around us. Now, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that get second those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Think about it. You see, we know that they are going to try to make the Antichrist God. But it ain't going to work. But you see, he'll have another powerful one working with him, the one that's called the false prophet, will be working with the Antichrist to get him to do a lot of things that are contrary to the word and the laws of God. It goes on here in 21 now telling us that when we see those things, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And right now, what we've got going on in the world today is the second time since the creation of the world that any one thing has touched the whole world. And what was the first one that happened that touched the whole world all at one time? That was the flood. And there was only 8 people saved out of that. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. You know, mankind is not stopping to think. He best get ready. He better give his life to Jesus, because it's the only way he's going to be able to keep it and to have everlasting life in heaven. Otherwise, he's going to spend eternity burning in a lake of fire. And that's God's word, not mine. Now, 22. He goes on and he says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. With what is going on, and even right now, unless something happens, if these days are shortened, there's not going to be any flesh saved. That's why our churches need to repent, get right with God, get men of God back in them, and begin to preach this message, work with us to get our land to repent so it can be healed. And get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes after the church. Because you see, when Jesus comes after the church and he calls the church out of this world, there will be no good left on this earth. Now, you say, well, won't anybody be saved? Yep. According to God's word, there'll be 144 saved. 144,000 saved. But you know who they'll be? Jews. Won't be us. The Word tells us. Go back into Revelation. Look it up. He tells you that during that time there'll be 144,000 saved, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. That's 12,000 times 12 is 144,000. Your Gentiles will be gone. Those that are going to be with Jesus, they'll all be gone because they'll go with the church. Now, he goes on to tell us how they're going to do mankind. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Why? Why wouldn't you want to believe if somebody tells you, you know, I seen Christ over here. He told you not to believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They'll be that strong. And they'll be doing a lot of things that would deceive man unless you are a child of God. And the child of God will know the difference. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. And he tells us how he's coming. Now this will be his second coming back to the earth. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All will be able to see him when he comes back. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, here in 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is going to happen just before he comes. But his church will be gone. His church will not be here during this time. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They're going to mourn, weep, and cry because they're not ready. They're going to be afraid now, but it won't do them any good. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the way he's coming back. Because you see, he's coming back to this earth to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And he is going to have that great battle of Armageddon there in the valley of Megiddon. Most don't know where that valley's at. They don't think about it. That valley runs right outside of the rock. Megiddon Valley. Now, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. One end of heaven to the other. Because you see, he's going to bring them with him onto the earth. They're coming down with him. In verse 32, he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. When we see all of these things we have been reading about here happen, come about, know that it's right on us. It's even at our doors. It's that close. But man today don't want to accept that fact. But that's not going to keep it from happening. They're just not going to be ready and they'll be lost. These next two verses, I'm going to close with them. Verily I say unto you, this generation that sees this, and sees this begin, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That generation will not pass till all that we've been warned about has happened. And he goes on with this last verse here. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is not going to pass away. It's not going to change. I don't care who tells you things that are different than God's word. It's not going to, his word's not going to change. He's not going to tell you to do something, and it's okay for you to do what he has told me not to do. Because he's no respecter of persons. And he's not going to tell you to do something, and then turn around and tell me I can't do it. Because his word is for every one of us. And he is not any respecter of persons. His word tells you that. And he's not going to change it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time to where we can come to spend time together in your word. So that, Father, we can join with each other and grow thereby. Help us, Father, take this church, build it into what you want it to be. Use me in mighty and great ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to help build this church into being your church and what you want of it. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray that they are safe. Their land be safe. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, Father, this land of ours that has turned its back and walked so far away, help us to reach out, Father, to bring our churches back to repentance, bring them back into your word, Father. Bring them back into being filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. To stand upon your word, Father, and not upon the traditions of mankind, but upon your word. helping us to bring this nation to repentance and helping us to put leaders in our government that will stand with your church, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed. And Father, for our prayer list this evening, as each name is called, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friends, Sue and Sue's family in Texas, Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for the Glory Bound Church in Irvington, for Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the two pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, make these churches lighthouses and a place of refuge to where the lost can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but also make it a place of refuge to where the lost that's walking in darkness can go, find light, and that light being Jesus. Father, I pray that you will find and put someone there in that church that will take the Holy Spirit there and teach your word as it is written. Help to build that church into being what it once was, Father, and what it is supposed to be. For Pastor Huron Islam, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Bishak Mishai, for Pastor Aran Zephyrin, Father, these men are walking in lands to where if they're caught preaching your gospel, it will mean death, imprisonment. Keep them safe, Father. Keep them in health. And Father, keep them filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. For Jimmy Embry, baby Jalay, Sharon Mombillo, Sharon's mother. For Garen Lee. For Sue. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family. Father, may all that are walking in darkness in these families, may the Holy Spirit work with them, turn them from their evil ways, and bring them to the light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, and all will be able to make heaven their home. Father, for Sue, Casey Smith, Kelly Smith, his wife, for Karen Lee, for Henry Craycroft, Father, keep them safe. Touch them with the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, once again, I ask you to fill this church, fill it your way. Lift me up, Father, use me, but not to lift me up in a way that it should not be, but make of me what I need to be so that we can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right, don't forget now, God willing, Sunday morning, we can all be together again and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a great night, and good night now.